Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Ronnie, for the privilege of being the speaker at Homecoming. Homecoming 2018. I will ask a question right now. If you are a member of this church, would you just lift your hand high? Whoa, I mean to tell you that's good. You may put them down. Now, is there a member here who's been a member 50 years or more? Raise your hand. Oh, several hands out there. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, I see all of those. Now, how many has been just been a member a year or a less? Look out there, too. That is fantastic. Fantastic. Now, one of the things that Faye and I get a blessing from, going as we do from church to church, is to sense the enthusiasm that's in some churches, and I hate to say it, deadness in other churches. And we've picked up on the enthusiasm here this morning. It's good. And you keep it going for the glory of God. I mean that. I mean that. And those little children, like those twins standing here on this platform a while ago, that tells me a lot about the future that this church is going to have. God bless you. I love little children. I love boys and girls and the students. My, my, my. And it's just so good to be here with you. We are so thankful for your prayers. And during the time I struggled with cancer, and now, praise God, I'm back on the road and getting energized more and more and filled with the Spirit and Word and sharing it. And God's opening just tremendous doors the rest of this year and on into next year. We thank you for praying. Thank you for remembering Command Evangelism, our ministry, and your giving, because it's a vital part of what we do. And thank you for your generosity. Oh, I tell you, to see this building going up and what it represents, what can be done for the future, it just thrills me because, see, this is a step of faith. God always honors faith. Amen. Always honors faith. Amen. Now let me just, don't know where I ought to do this or not. Have you been watching anything in Washington this week? It makes you sick. Amen. All I can say is it's insane. These people who are elected, who are to be the leaders and the lawmakers of our land, are behaving themselves in such a manner as we see. Amen. But I'm still going to tell a political joke. Okay. Said President Trump was in the White House and he was seeing the people walk out there behind the fence on the sidewalk, and he wanted to go out there and just walk among the people. And the Secret Service, no, you can't do that, President Trump. No, you can't do that. But after a while, he persuaded them, and sure enough, he was out on the sidewalk walking with the people and the Secret Service all around him trying to protect him. And then about 200 or 300 feet off in the direction of the sidewalk where it was going, somebody came up with a gun and started shooting it. Pow! Pow! Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what the Secret Service said to the President of the United States? They said, "Donald, duck." Now, you take that one home with you. But now, I always so humbled when your pastor begins to talk about me being his pastor, and I love him and pray for him, support him in every way. But you see, somebody asked me the other day, Brother Pastor Ronnie, was I now in my older years and my preaching traditional sermons or in my preaching Texas sermons. And I says, well, I know what a traditional sermon is. It's three points and a poem, and that's it. What would you say would be a Texas sermon? Well, it's a little different. Said you got a point here, and then you got a point here, and between that point and this point, you have a whole lot of bull. Well, I'm not going to be preaching a Texas sermon because I want to share with you some thoughts that I have. That I don't know why the Lord laid it on me to go this way at homecoming, but I've got to go as the direction of the Holy Spirit guides me. Now, open your Bible to First Epistle of Peter, First Letter to Peter. And in the first chapter, I want to read it, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Now, before I go any further, and somebody say, well, whoa, I shouldn't be doing this. I want you to know in verse 22, the spirit in which this is being said. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And so the context in which these words are spoken is spoken in the spirit of love. And ladies and gentlemen, anytime you're going to be talking about God the Father, you're talking about love because that's who He is. Amen. He is a God of love. But now go down in the second chapter and in verse 2. It says, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And so what I want to do is to make a connection between what he's saying in the first chapter and what he's saying in the second chapter. And that simply is this. Peter is using an illustration that is so common to everybody, and that is the birth of a baby. And that's what he's using here, the illustration of a baby being born. You are born into the family of God. You are born again by the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, he goes on to say, being as newborn babies, we should desire the milk of the Word of God. And it's simple, his illustration. He is saying, if you are in God's family, you are professing to be born again, the normal and natural thing that should be coming from you is a hunger and a desire for the Word of God. Amen. I can remember my early months in Christianity when I trusted the Lord as my personal Savior. In the church that I joined in Jacksonville, Florida, there was a retired minister there who had had a stroke. He had had the stroke years earlier, and it caused him to have to end his pastoral ministry. But he was there in that church, and he would come in with his arm twisted up, and he would always have to walk like this, dragging one foot. These were injuries from the stroke that he had. But it didn't take me long to know that this was a man of the Word of God. And I approached him one day, and I said, Brother John, if I would come over to your house and we could set up on a regular basis, would you teach me the scriptures? And he said, Paul, I would be delighted to. And my brother and my sister, I would go over there and we would sit down sometime 2 and 3 hours at the time with our Bibles open and him sharing with me and teaching me the scriptures. And oh, how it nourished my soul. It just did something to me like nothing else could do. The Word of God. And so what Peter is simply saying here is if you are professing to be a believer, you are professing to be born again, then there ought to be that natural hunger for the Word of God. Now, let's go a little bit further with this analogy of a baby. Faye gets all over me when I say this sometimes. I love to watch a little infant cry. I do. I mean, that watching that little infant cry, you hold that little infant in your arms. You notice everything about the facial expressions. Oh, they get real red in the face. I mean to tell you, they, a lie, a lie, a lie. And that little old tongue is just a quivering and those little old hands are just a shaking. Well, you see, that's what a baby does when that baby wants milk. When that baby wants the bottle or the nursing, the feeding. You can go in the nursery where the baby is at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and the baby's crying and you can pick up a teddy bear. And it won't have any effect upon that child. You can stand there and sing a little child's song. It won't have an effect. The only thing that will satisfy that baby is when that baby gets that milk. And you know the noise they make when they're sucking that bottle. It's normal. It's natural. Now here's my question. Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Yeah. Is there something within you that's just always wanting to know more, to learn more, to find the truths of the Word of God? Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm bringing this point out is because so many people in our churches, I'm afraid, have walked the aisle, been through the baptismal pools, and they have not been born again. Amen. They never show any desire to be taught the scriptures. They never have a hunger to go back and hear this pastor preach and the Sunday school teacher teach. These things are unimportant to them. So Peter is saying that if you're born again by the Spirit of God, you have a hunger and a desire for the Word. Now, some people may have had a genuine hunger. They may hungered for a while, was taught for a while, but then something happened to take away that appetite. Something happened that no longer do they really, they can pick over their food, spiritual food. They can come and go, you might say, like a cafeteria style. That drive, that craving is no longer there. Now, has that been that way with you? Let me tell you what happens so many times when we lose our hunger for the Word of God. It is because of the entrance of sin in our lives. That's why I want to come in just a little bit later on with another verse here and make the tie particularly on what Peter is talking about. You see, if we've had that appetite, had that desire, and somehow it's diminished, what has happened? There has been sickness to come in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been that sick. Even the smell of food, I didn't even want to smell it. You know what I'm talking about. But when it's spiritual sickness, ladies and gentlemen, it is always because of the entrance of sin in our lives. Now, if we go in back into sin, if there are those things about our lives that we're doing and we do not repent of them, let me tell you something, this unrepentant of sin in our lives will sap our spiritual appetite. And we won't want the Word of God, because the Word of God will bring conviction to us. We will dodge it every way possible. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to ask yourselves the question this morning. Do I have the hunger for God's Word? I profess to be saved. I profess to be born again. If you remember, what was it, last Sunday we visited with you here, or the week before. Anyway, your pastor was standing up here preaching. And I was sitting over there beside of my wife. And somehow, when one preacher hears another preacher, they preach with them in their spirit, in their emotions, in their mind. And I could sense so much compassion, so much preaching, so much direction from the Word of God. And I believe God was speaking to some people in that service that morning, just as I believe God is speaking to someone here in this service. I tell you another thing that can take away your appetite, not only unconfessed sin in your life, but you see, when you do not have the proper exercise in your life, in other words, physically, if we can eat normal diet and then just sit down and never do any exercise, after a while, we're going to lose our appetite, because somehow eating good food makes us energized. And so we should use up that food and energy to the body. And so therefore, then that brings another desire for more food. And then also exercise. We've got to do it. We've got to do it to have this hunger for God's Word. Amen. But now let me go on just a little bit further in this scripture. Let me read it again, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of the seed, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living Word of God. Like newborn babes, verse 2 of chapter 2, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. That's what God wants. Amen. You see, I was reading quite a thick book here recently, and the author of this book was dealing with this kind of thing. He was dealing with the behavior that should be coming from those of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, behavior patterns should set up in our lives. We should be trying to image our Savior by our words, our life, our love, our involvement in the lives of other people. And so many times that's not happening. And so he goes on in this particular chapter, in chapter 2, in verse 1. He says, because we're born in the family of God, because we're children of God, therefore, putting aside, and he goes on to name five things that we ought to put to side. Now I could list 50 things that I need to put aside. But you see, Peter, he was very cautious, and he only listed five of these that we need to put aside in our lives. Now, you think with me as I go to these, because I'm afraid I'm going to offend someone this morning. And if I do, that's fine, because this is God's Word. Amen. He said, take out malice. Amen. What is malice? It's ill will. It's a bitter attitude that that one can develop in their lives in relationship to a brother or sister in the church. And ladies and gentlemen, God cannot bless that if that is going on. That bitterness that's there. And if that bitterness stays there, let me tell you something. Your hunger for the Word of God will be diminished. The man who prayed in his church often, he would pray this prayer. Oh God, would you please clean up the spider webs in the corner of my life? He would pray that ever prayer. And then finally, one of the sisters of the church was so fed up with hearing that phrase, when he prayed it the next time, she spoke up and said, God, don't do it. Kill the spider. And folks, we got to kill the spider.
Amen.
If there is ill will and malice and a broken fellowship with anybody, go to that person, get it right. Get on your knees before God, then let God make the transformation that's needed there.
Amen.
Brother Ronnie knows about the situation I'm going to tell you about. There were some folks in our church there in Fuquay that every time we started to step out on faith, they were against it. They were always, you know, negative. And I got to where, honestly, I didn't like them. And I was their pastor. I got to where I ignored them. Why? You know why? Every time the church was ready to do something wonderful for the glory of God, they was always, you know, be against it. And so I invited this little bald-headed preacher from the state of Florida to come preach a revival. And he was standing up there, just a little short fellow, bald as he could be, way balder than I am. And he started looking out there and he says, Now, some of you folks, you do not like one another, even though you're members of the same church. Some of you sit on the same pew. And I thought, well, you know, this man, he's just going to be preaching this as one point, then he's going to go to the next point. He preached on 30-minute sermon on how we ought to love one another. And you know what I was doing sitting on that pew waiting for my time to come in the service? I felt about that high. He was speaking to me, my attitude, my resentment that I had towards somebody. And when he asked me to come and stand there as people came forward in the invitation, I couldn't go there and stand. I had to come to the altar and get on my knees and say, oh God, it's me. Oh God, forgive me of my bad attitude, my ill spirit, my malice that I've had toward these individuals. God, remove it from my heart and my spirit. And let me tell you something, a load got lifted off of me. When I got up from that prayer, went back and stood before that congregation, I could stand by knowing that I did not have any ill will against anybody. And you know what it did? It changed me. This was causing a big cancer, a big disease to come up in my spirit to the point that it was going to affect everything else of my life if I didn't get it out of my heart and get right with God. Now, I'll be honest with you. It didn't change them a bit, but it changed me.
Amen.
They were still meaner than a snake. Now, what else does he say here? He says, in all deceit. What is this? This is trying to defraud somebody. This is not being truthful. And you know, the one of the things that we ought to guard is our testimony. Our testimony in Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that is the most valuable thing we have.
Amen.
And we need to guard that testimony. And so, is your word your bond? Are you honest with your brother, your sister? You see, this author of this book I was telling you about, he was talking about what we're going to be doing in the future. Since the Reformation in the 1600s, ladies and gentlemen, it's somehow the Western Church, we've got caught up in the idea that the only reason we're saved is to go to heaven. God's got bigger plans than that. You see, the Bible tells me that when the Lord comes back and set up His kingdom here on earth, ladies and gentlemen, it will be you and me, the redeemed of God, that will govern with Him. It frightens me to think that we'll be judging nations or even angels. Folks, so therefore, what this author was talking about was the behavior that we get up now is only to be in preparation for the kingdom of God that Jesus will establish, and we will be there helping Him. Honesty, integrity. That's why this week in Washington, seeing what's going on TV, oh, my, my, my. It's a mirror to sadness of our country. For over 20 years, I've been coming to this pulpit preaching. My prediction all along for this nation will be that we will become so corrupt and so filled with deceit and malice that we will destroy ourselves from within. Ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be with the people of God. Be open, honest, above board. Not like the fellow that sent a letter to the IRS. He says, "Dear IRS," he says, "I've been where I couldn't sleep because of what I owed you. There's a check in the envelope here. I'm mailing it to you. And if I can't sleep tonight, I'll send you the rest of what I owe you." Let's be honest and above board on everything. Trustworthy, dependable. Now, what's the next word? Hypocrisy. Play acting. Do you know God's people can fall into that role? Oh, maybe you had a hunger for the Word. You studied the Word. The Word was precious to you. You grew in the Lord. But then all of a sudden there became little pockets of sin, little areas in your life that there shouldn't be and they haven't been repented of. And so now you have lost that hunger for the Word of God. But I don't want the deacons to know it. I don't want the church to know about it. So I can get my Bible under my arm. I can get my Sunday clothes on. I can go in, hallelujah, praise God. And you know you're acting. It's not genuine. It's not coming from a heart that's laid on that altar in repentance toward God. I see married couples like this. Somehow or another, they live many years happy in marriage. But something happened that separated them. And then, far as divorcing, no. Leaving one another, no. But they're not together in their marriage. But when they go in public and we're around people, it's a pretense. The same way with a believer that's allowed sin to come in their lives and they haven't repented of it. They're a hypocrite. Hypocrite. The next word is this. Envy. Jealousy. I mean, the things that are done in the heart and in the mind that people can't see. You know they're there. God knows they're there. Therefore, there needs to be
a turning from them. And then the last word is slander. What did you use your mouth for? Is it for the glory and praise of God, or is it for gossip, slander, foolish talking to the point that it hurts somebody else? We stopped at a yard sale a couple of weeks ago, and I like yard sales. I like to go see what's on sale. And this fellow was sitting in a chair, and there was a little sign leaning up against the legs of the chair. And I stood off and I read that little sign. It's one like you hang up on a wall, you know, with a little nail. And I said, sir, is that sign for sale, or have you already bought it? He said, oh, I've already bought it. And I says, Lord, I wish you hadn't. I would have bought it. You know what the sign said? It was a prayer. Listen to me, folks. It was a prayer. Oh, God, put your arm around my shoulder and your hand over my mouth. I'm sure you've heard the story. I've probably told it here. About the fellow sitting in the bar drinking. Finally, late in the day, he's going to have to leave. And so the door of the bar opens right out on the street where the people are. And so he opens the door leaving, and he's staggering and bumped right into his pastor. And he said, Pastor, I'm so embarrassed. I hate you see me in this kind of condition. He said, well, what does it bother you that I see you like that? God sees you like that when you get that way. He said, yeah, I know, but God's not a blabbermouth like you are. Let's get back to the main point of what Peter's saying. Grow. Amen. I'm going to read another verse. Verse 3 of chapter 2. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, you're not going to want these characteristics about your life.
Amen.
In verse 3 of chapter 1, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. Think about it. Why has my hunger for the Word died off? Why am I no longer now wanting to grow and be different? There's something in there that needs to be confessed. I could have stood up here this morning and lambasted adultery, lambasted all of these kind of things that are out there in this old evil world. But no, what Peter mentions are just these five things that can happen in your heart, in your mind, and nobody other than God will know about it. Do you need to kill a spider this morning? Hypocrisy, malice, envy, speaking evil of someone. Get that spider out this morning and stomp it and say, you're dead in my life.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to do whatever is necessary to maintain that good, healthy appetite for your word. The devil, who's our enemy, he would want us to never study the scripture, never be involved in Sunday school, never to be involved in regularity of church attendance. But I pray, Father, that those of us here this morning who are in your family because of that new birth, Father, if there's anything keeping us distant from you, from having that satisfaction made by your word, Father, may it be stopped this morning. Have thine own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Look this way just for a moment. Before we ask you to stand and sing, this message mainly has been for us who know the Lord. But it could be I've been speaking to somebody here today that's never trusted Christ. You want to, you've thought about it, you know you need to, and you plan to one day. But today's the day you can do it. Come share that decision with the pastor. But most of all, this altar is open for anyone who wants to come and kill any spider that may be in their lives. Would you come? Let's stand.